Okay, good morning. So we're continuing on here now. This is part three of Christ Manifested in the Flesh. We ended in our last looking at the primary nuance of sarks, and would refer you back to the tape of Christ Manifested in the Flesh, part two, if you missed that. So we concluded that the term for the flesh, sarks, had reference to the physical body as well as to human nature and as well as to sinful nature. And the nuance in each context explained which of those it was speaking about. Now here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, it says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we see here then is that we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. And we looked in our last lesson at both the body and the soul, and referred to both as being sarks, or the flesh. The body being the instrument through which the soul, the seat of human nature, operates. So what we have not looked at yet, and we'll look at today, is the spirit of man. If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 17. Genesis 2:17 says, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. The you in the verse includes the spirit of a man. And this, we're going to see, is where the fellowship with God takes place. It's in the spirit of the man. So the relationship and the influence of God through your spirit to your soul, theirs was greatly diminished, even to the point of spiritual death, when they partook of this forbidden tree. We see in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 5, that for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 7 says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So it is, when one becomes of the age of accountability and partakes in the tree of good and evil, so will their eyes be opened and be separated from God, and you become dead in your spirit, as Ephesians 2:1 tells us, that you become dead in your trespasses and sins. It's in the spirit that it's speaking about where you become dead. And when someone first of age commits their sin, they have, if you will, partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes are open to it. Now listen closely, or as the King James says, be swift to hear, or quick to hear. And I hope to cause you to understand what it is that goes on in you, goes on in me, in the spiritual battle for your soul. So get the distinction of these words of spirit and soul. It is a battle for your soul. Before we talk about the spirit, well, let's bring to mind again, what is the soul? So when we're talking about a person's soul, we're talking about a person's mind, their will, their emotions. It's the seat of our personality. It's the place of our thoughts, our desires, and our decision-making process. All of that takes place in your soul. The soul interacts with both the physical body and the spiritual realm of our spirit, and thus, through our spirit, God. The spirit's role, then, the spirit is the deepest part of a man. It is the core that is capable of communion with God. That is our spirit. You see, our spirit came from God who gave it to us. And it's the place of communication and fellowship with God. If you look in John chapter 3, I know you're all very familiar with this, in John chapter 3 and verse 6, but we'll take a look at it. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So he's telling us here that someone that is born again, it is their spirit that is regenerated by the Holy Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's not the soul that's born again. It's the spirit that died when you partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in whatever form that looked like. So, so it is the spirit that is regenerated in your new birth. It is your spirit that is regenerated by the Holy Spirit, brought to life again. It had been dead in trespasses and sins. Communication and fellowship with God had been cut off virtually. In the new birth, you are born of the Spirit, and your spirit becomes alive again. And this is where the influence upon the soul comes from, is our spirit. So it's very important whether your spirit is alive or dead, because that's the influence to your soul, to God. So it might sound odd at first when we say that the soul is a mediator. The soul functions as a mediator between the body and the spirit. By being the decision-making center, that processes input from both the body and the spirit. So you see, it's the soul that's processing what's coming from the body, and it's processing what's coming from our spirit, which is in communion with God if you've been born again. So here's how it works. The body has its natural desires and needs, hunger, thirst, comfort, as well as sensual impulses of pleasure, pain, and attraction. These impulses are experienced in the soul. Impulses of the body are experienced in the soul through emotions and thoughts. And this can lead to actions in the body. When the soul chooses to satisfy these yearnings of the body, it's the soul that chooses, not the spirit. It's the soul that chooses and will be held responsible. The spirit, on the other hand, provides insight and influence from the Holy Spirit when the person's spirit has been made alive through regeneration of a new birth. The Spirit then, being made alive again by the Holy Spirit, is sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Before, it was dead because of sin. Now it's alive again. It's regenerated, and it's sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, which provide directions then for the soul. Directions from God. The soul processes both of these inputs from the body and the spirit. And it makes decisions. The soul makes the decision. It can choose to align with the desires of the body or with the promptings of the spirit, its spirit, in connection with the Holy Spirit. We look at Romans 8 and verse 6. Says, for the mind set on the flesh, see, the mind, remember, is a part of the soul. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So it's very important what you set your mind on all the time. What is your mind set on? The choice determines whether a person will live according to the flesh or according to the spirit. What you set your mind on, your soul, will determine if you are going to live according to the flesh or according to the spirit in each and every moment of your life. In this sense, the soul mediates by choosing which influence to follow. So it is, as you've heard Steve say before, you are the one who decides your eternal fate. See, your soul is making the choices. It's choosing all the time. The body's asking for this. The spirit, in communion with God, is telling you this. Now, the soul will decide and give an account. So, we'll look at a more practical look at the soul, how it acts as a mediator. The mind, which is part of the soul, processes spiritual truths from the regenerated spirit that has been born again, along with the sensory input from the body. It decides, the soul decides, what to focus on, spiritual realities or worldly concerns. The soul, or the will, chooses whether to obey the desires of the flesh, the body, the human nature, or the Holy Spirit influencing your spirit. This is why spiritual disciplines like fasting, prayer, reading the scriptures are important, as they strengthen the will of the soul to align with the spirit. That's why we would see Jesus always partaking in this praying, fasting, and reading of the Word. To strengthen his soul. Emotions, which are also part of the soul, react to both bodily experiences of pain, pleasure, and comfort, and spiritual realities, joy, peace, conviction. The emotions, which is part of the soul, responds to those things. Thus, the soul decides what emotions to give place to. So Romans 8:16 tells us that the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit, our regenerated spirit, bears witness to it. And so, if you look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, Colossians 3:2 tells us, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Set your mind. That's your soul. Set your soul on things above. You look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Says, he saves us not on the basis of deeds we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So, as I said before, when you become of age and you sin against God, you partake of the forbidden fruit, and your eyes are opened, and in your shame and guilt, you turn to God and you follow his direction and be born again of the water and the Spirit. Your mind is regenerated. It is renewed. It was dead because of your sin. Did not help the soul in its decision making. You see, the soul without the Spirit, without the Spirit that's influenced by God, influenced by the Holy Spirit, is of no help to the soul. And so the soul then is hearing through its emotions and its will and all things without the fellowship and communion of God. Everything's carnal. And so you're drawn to this world, you're drawn to everything you see about you. You're drawn to carnal things because the communication with God was lost. So that's why Jesus said you must be born again of the water and the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom. You cannot see the kingdom. You must be born again so that this fellowship with God comes back once again. So it is the soul that is eternal and will face judgment. The body goes back to the ground from which it came. The spirit goes back to God who gave it. The soul is the eternal part of a man that has been mediating between the desires of the flesh and the beckoning of the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. And so then the time will come that the soul will give an account for which did it listen to, which did it follow. So, of course, we're talking about Christians here, because the person who has not been born again, like I said, that communication with God is gone anyway. Unless they're born again, their fate is sealed anyway. So, that's why the scriptures tell us here, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And you do this through listening to the beckoning of the body, the carnal nature, the world all around you beckoning you. And if your soul ignores what the Spirit is saying by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, if your soul ignores that and in its emotions, in its will, in its mind, it decides to go with this thing, go with this temptation, if you will. Give place to what the body's asking for. Paul said there's no good thing in the flesh. And so, if you give place to the flesh instead of the beckoning of your spirit by the Holy Spirit, then you grieve the Holy Spirit. And then another danger is if you do not continue on in these exercises, we mentioned that Jesus made a part of his life, then what we do then is we quench the Holy Spirit. What do you do when you quench your thirst? You quit drinking. You've had enough. Well, when you quit reading your Bible, you quit praying to God, when you quit listening to your spirit by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and that happens when you quit reading your Bible. You quit praying to God. You've quenched the Holy Spirit. You kind of said, I don't need no more of that. Or, you know, I would rather do this, look at that, whatever. And so that also is a great danger of quenching the Holy Spirit. Stay in the Word, stay in prayer. And I hope this helps you understand yourself. What's going on with me, you might say? Why do I do the things I do, have the thoughts I have, the emotions I have? Well, if you've been born again, you've got your spirit is alive again, and the Holy Spirit is communicating with you. Listen to your spirit in the communion and fellowship with God and follow that. And so in the end, the soul gives an account and decides, as Steve said, you decide where you spend eternity. Let's ponder these things. Thank you.